Thanks for downloading this podcast from Burghead Free Church in Moray, Scotland. We exist to know Jesus and make Jesus known. Our vision is to grow to be a vibrant all-age church of 100 disciples. Find out more at burgheadfreechurch.org. Well, we are going to read together from the Bible. You might like to find Philippians chapter 1 if you have a physical Bible here or at home, but it will also all be on the screen for you to follow along with. And Fiona Harris is going to come and read for us Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Thanks, Fiona.
Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Amen.
What a year. Let me end it by telling you about one of the things that I love to hate: circular family Christmas letters. You know the kind? They usually come from the overenthusiastic parents of idyllic children. I have never suffered from being overenthusiastic about letter writing, nor from having idyllic children. You know the sort of letter, though, on every page they document the glorious achievements that their children have made in the last year. Little Johnny took 17 standard grades and 15 highers this year, scoring top marks in all of them. Little Sylvia won the first prize in the national skiing competition, again. And of course, we enjoyed holidays in the Maldives, Las Vegas, the Cotswolds, and of course, a week in our new flat in central Paris. Well, listen, however difficult 2020 has been, I hope at least it might have curtailed the circular Christmas letters a bit, because pretty much everyone's letter this year will have read like this: got up, did nothing, went nowhere, kids won no prizes. At the end of this year, I guess lots of people will just want to forget about it, to put it behind them, not to think any more about this year that's been. When it comes to 2020, I reckon lots of people will just want to say good riddance to bad rubbish. But that would be a mistake. And we're going to spend a few minutes tonight looking back and looking forward through the lens of this passage in the book of Philippians. So if you have a Bible, keep it open, although everything, as usual, is on the screen. You might know Philippians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. He's a key leader in the early church. He's writing, as we'll see in a moment, from prison. So he's not had an easy year either. He's writing to a church that he planted in Philippi, that's in ancient Macedonia. And you can see all that from the way that he kicks off his letter. Verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Paul sees himself as a slave or a servant of Jesus, and we'll get to that later. But for now, here's the first point tonight on this New Year's Eve. We are looking back to see God at work. Paul's circumstances are far from rosy. He has been locked up in prison for preaching about Jesus. And the Philippians, who were on the receiving end of this letter, are not exactly having the best time either. Their home city, Philippi, was a Roman colony. Now, living under Roman rule, you probably know, meant acknowledging that Caesar, that is the emperor, was Lord and King. But Christians could not do that because for us, only Jesus is Lord and King. And that meant they faced fierce opposition and persecution. To be a Christian publicly in Philippi was dangerous. And yet, despite the difficult circumstances for the writer and the readers alike, look how this letter begins. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Now, I'll say more about thankfulness and joy in a moment. For now, just notice, it's clear that the reason Paul can be thankful, even in difficult days, is that he knows that God continues to work, even in difficult days. And many of you here tonight and watching online could testify to that, couldn't you? In your own life. In fact, often the times that you really grew as a person, more crucially than that, the times that you grew in your faith in Jesus, they weren't usually the times of ease, but often they were the times of hardship. So it's true, God is and has been at work behind the scenes in these difficult days in all kinds of different ways. But Paul's focus here, the work that God's been doing behind the scenes that brings him greatest joy in hardship, is the knowledge that God has been at work spreading his gospel. Just skip down to verse 12. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. See, Paul knows that whatever else is going on, whatever chaos is unfolding around him, it's still true that the most important thing is that more people in more places get to hear the good news of Jesus. Although Paul saying that in this situation might seem a bit odd to you, Paul being locked up might seem like a kind of evangelistic disaster. After all, Paul, you might know, is the great evangelist. He's the guy who travels all over the place telling new and different people about Jesus. So being locked up in a prison cell doesn't seem like the greatest strategy, does it? And yet, unexpectedly, strangely, ironically, Paul is saying that him being locked up has actually served to advance the gospel, because the gospel has come to more people in the nearby corridors of power where he's locked up. And as we look back on this year that's passed, we can and we should look back in faith, knowing that God has been at work in our difficult days too. I want to speak to you tonight, especially if you're just listening into this and you know that you're not a committed Christian, you know that you've not accepted Jesus personally as your Savior, you're not living with him as the Lord of your life. Firstly, let me address you by saying thank you so much for listening. And can I ask you this? Is God using 2020 as a wake-up call for you? Our news bulletins have been repeatedly full of daily death tolls. More than 60,000 now have died from COVID-19 in the UK this year. And what goes unreported is that over 600,000 have died in the UK this year from other, quote, normal causes. At funerals, we often sing the hymn, Abide With Me, and it has this poignant lyric, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. In other words, life is short. I don't want to sound miserable, but it's true that for all of us, it is ebbing away. We are all, COVID or no COVID, we are all heading to God's day of judgment. We will meet him face to face. And our greatest problem is that no one, none of us, will gain access to God's kingdom or to eternal life because of our good moral performance in life. The hard truth is none of us deserve heaven, and none of us will get there under our own steam or by our own moral achievements. Our imperfections, our sins, mean that as life's little day ebbs away, we're not heading to eternal life in God's kingdom, but eternal judgment out of God's kingdom. But the only one who can intervene to rescue us is Jesus. Back in March, an Italian Catholic priest caught the headlines. He was 72. He was suffering from COVID-19. Things were in a pretty bad state, as you will remember, in Italy at the time. There were not enough ventilators to go around. And so the priest told the medical staff to give away his ventilator to save the life of another man. And the priest died shortly afterwards. And that act of heroism gives a little window into the work of Jesus. He goes to the cross to die for us. Now, to be clear, he was not suffering with the sickness of his own sin. He had no sin. And yet still, he went to die instead of us, in our place, for our sin, so that all who accept him as Savior and Lord can be forgiven by God and welcomed by God into his kingdom, both now and forever. And that really matters. Maybe a new year is a good time to reflect on that. It really matters because all of us have an eternal destination. There is heaven and there is hell. There is a day of judgment and reckoning. And the only one that can make the difference is Jesus. And here's the thing, Paul knew that. And that's why he was so desperate, come rain or shine, come freedom or prison, wherever he was, to preach that message. Didn't care if he had to go to prison to do it, because it was so important to get it out. And sometimes God uses difficult days to bring us to our senses, to show us how much we need Jesus. The famous author C.S. Lewis, who was once an atheist but became a Christian, said this: God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. Pain is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And I wonder if God is speaking to you through the pain of this year to show you you need a Savior and to draw you to Jesus. And it has been our experience here at Birkhead Free Church that God has been doing that, even in this year, despite all of the strangeness. Who could have expected all that has happened? For us as a church, our entire program of activities and ministries seemingly shut down, or if not shut down, at least radically changed overnight. Months upon months of no physical meeting. And yet, in God's grace, I think we can say that our church and our ministry has grown this year. Through our digital presence, the gospel has gone out to many more people. Through our online youth work, our online services, our online Christianity Explored, through our podcasts, the blog, the Equip training interviews, our online prayer initiatives, through our social media feeds, in all these ways, the gospel has gone out, I think, to more people in more places from our church family in 2020 than it did in 2019. And it's not just the digital things. It's the very non-digital things. Through our contact with the community, through the blessings box and the food parcels and the practical care, we have shown the compassion of Jesus and crucially had opportunities to share the message of Jesus. And so at the end of this year, we can say with Paul, verse 12, what has happened to us has actually served to advance the gospel. So look back and see God at work. But secondly, much more briefly, we also look back in gratitude. You cannot miss the thankfulness in everything that Paul writes, despite his circumstances. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Verse 4 and 5, I always pray with joy because of our partnership in the gospel. Verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way, that is thankful about you. Because Paul is most eager to share the gospel, he's most grateful when people respond in faith to the gospel by putting their faith in Jesus. He's grateful to God for the Christian faith that he sees, which has radically transformed the lives of those who are reading this letter. And again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it begs the question for you. Have you responded to Jesus in faith? Have you found this life-transforming forgiveness in him? Have you found rescue from death in Jesus? At the end of this year, what better way to spend it than finding a rescue from death? But again, as I think of our own church family here, I can say with Paul that I am grateful and I thank God for the faith of the people of Birkhead Free Church. We have seen your faith in action this year. Faith in action, but not just that. Just as important is our partnership together in that faith in action. That's something else that Paul is grateful for in this church in Philippi. Look at verse 5. He has a deep sense of working together with the Philippian Christians for the cause of Jesus. And again, what a sense of gospel partnership God has given us here in Birkhead in 2020. Now look, I'm sure, in fact I know, that this has not been everyone's experience, but it's been so interesting that quite a number of people have said to me on a number of occasions this year that strangely they feel closer than ever to other members of our church family, even though physical meeting is restricted. Now, of course, we've been helped by our digital connections, our online services, our weekly emails, our texts, our Zoom meetings, and all the rest. But more than that, I think that sense of closeness that some of us perhaps have felt comes from the fact that we have been more than ever working together on a mission to know Jesus, to make Jesus known, working with a vision to grow to be a vibrant all-age church of 100 disciples. I'm so grateful to God for the people of our church who have done that in spades. From the techs who run our complex broadcast every week, to the cleaners who keep us COVID secure, to the blessings box army, to the hot meal deliverers, to the youth work Zoomers, the Christianity Explored helpers, and not least of all, the elders who've had to guide us with decisions through a complex year. In all of that, I want to say with Paul, I thank God for our partnership in the gospel. So we look back and see God at work. We look back with gratitude. We also, number three, look back to learn. Look at verse 9 now. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. For those who do know God, who have trusted Jesus, Paul's greatest desire is that you may come to know him better and better and grow to be more and more like him in your own love and service. And so we'll know how best to live and follow him as we do that. And as we come to know him more, and as we come to serve him more fully, well, all of that brings glory to God. That's his point here. They say every day is a school day. I suppose you could say every year is a school year, although the kids have been out of school a lot of time this year. So the question for you again is this: what have you learned? What have you learned this year? Again, if you're not yet a Christian, I am now a broken record, but have you learned that we're not in control of life? That things are desperately fragile, the future is completely uncertain, and that life's little day is ebbing away for all of us? Have you learned something of your need for a Savior who can make sense of the chaos of life now and who crucially can reconnect your broken relationship with God and give you a secure eternal future beyond death? Have you learned your need for that? But if you already have, if you are a Christian, the same question to you: what have you learned? It would be worth reflecting on, wouldn't it? So that we don't let a year like this one pass by without learning what we can from it. I wonder, have you learned to trust God more in a world that is clearly out of our control, but firmly in his grasp? Have you learned that your identity is not bound up with your job and your busyness? Sometimes those things have to be stripped away before we can learn that we are, before anything else, children of God. Have you learned, like Paul, the urgency of sharing the gospel in a world where the future is so unknown? What have you learned? How are you growing? Look back, see God at work. Look back with gratitude. Look back to learn. But lastly, number four, look forward in hope. Many, many, many people are looking forward in hope to a vaccine. Now listen, we're all delighted, me included, at the prospect of that. My wife Morag, who is a healthcare worker, had her jab just before Christmas. And as soon as it's my turn, I'll be there too. And I would encourage you all to be there too, to get it. Not least of all because that's a way to love our neighbours, to have that kind of immunity in our population. But listen, as good as the vaccine is, the hope of a vaccine is really a short-lived hope. Why? Well, because one day there'll be another pandemic. And next year, even if it's not a pandemic, there'll be another challenge. Because that's the world we live in. That's what it's always like. This is a broken world. So what does Paul hope in? And where should your hope lie? Well, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. The timeline for Paul's hope is much bigger. He's not just hoping to get through the next pandemic or the next year or the next disaster. His hope is in Jesus, and it endures to the very end of all things. His hope ultimately is in God. And if you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then you can be sure that God has begun a good work in you. And when God starts a work, he always finishes it. He is not fickle or frail or prone to change his mind. He's not unfaithful. When he starts, he finishes. When he's begun a good work in you, the good work of saving you, he will carry that on to completion. He will take you ultimately to be with him forever in glory. That's real hope. That's hope beyond a vaccine. It's hope beyond 2021. Who knows what it'll hold? We have no idea. We need a hope that lasts out this year and the next pandemic and the next disaster and the next trial or challenge or unexpected twist or turn or bump in the road. That's real hope. Hope in Jesus. And at the end of 1 year, and the beginning of the next. Is that a hope that you know? Let's pray together, shall we? Maybe we'll just have a moment of quiet reflection. I've asked you, what have you learned? How are you growing? I've asked you, have you turned to Christ? I've asked you, what is your hope for the future? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that though we are so frail and fragile and so limited, you are the God who rules over all, who is working out plans and purposes, and who is making good news of great joy for all people known around the world. Lord, how we thank you for the ways that you in your grace have enabled that good news to continue going out from this church family. How we thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your people here, for the hard work, the hard labor that so many have given and given joyfully so that others may come to know this hope. Lord, how we thank you for that. But how we thank you most of all for Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep who lays down his life for us. Lord, we thank you that he has begun a good work in us and will carry it on to completion until we, your sheep, are safely in your fold forever. Lord, thank you for that hope that outlasts this year, this pandemic, and this lifetime. Lord, we pray that we would cling to it and that others would come to know it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. Please feel free to share this podcast, and if you'd like to be up to date with each week's talk, why not search Birkhead Free Church on your favourite podcast app and hit the subscribe button. For more information, go to birkheadfreechurch.org.